Going to be in 2 Corinthians chapter 5, verses 16 through 21, wrapping up our series on values and vision. It says this, "So from now on we regard no one from a worldly point of view. Though we once regarded Christ in this way, we do so no longer. Therefore, if anyone is in Christ, the new creation has come. The old is gone, the new is here. All this is from God, who reconciled us to himself through Christ and gave us the ministry of reconciliation, that God was reconciling the world to himself in Christ, not counting people's sins against them. And he was committed to us the message of reconciliation. We are therefore Christ's ambassadors, as though God were making his appeal through us. And we implore you on Christ's behalf, be reconciled to God. God made him who had no sin to be sin for us, so that in him we might become the righteousness of God." That's pretty high standing, isn't it? Father, we are so grateful for your word. It lights our path. It gives us just enough light for the next step. So give us the next step today. Help us to grow and understand and apply these truths to our lives and to our church body. In Jesus' name, amen. Please be seated. Over the past several Sundays, we have been discussing our congregation's core values, and at the heart of all of this, we discover, is the heart of God. All of these qualities, no matter which one of the five they are, come from God himself. And at the heart of God's desire is this desire for reconciliation. God is reconciling all things to himself through Jesus Christ. Colossians chapter 1, verses 19 through 22. Whether we are speaking of God's immense love, which is our central core value, that love displayed in Christian community, which is how we display it, the ongoing process of life transformation, which is basically discipleship, where we're meeting together, we're growing together, meeting the needs of others through holistic generosity, remembering that generosity isn't just about money. That's one thin slice. There's a whole aspect to generosity that is beyond that, or helping people be restored to God and to each other. At the heart is God's longing to have sinful humanity return to right relationship with him. What is God about? I can tell you what God is about. He loves humans, and he loves to have them return to him in right relationship. And so we want to be like that. We want to make that our goal. We want to align ourselves with God. And so basically, the final core value becomes the vision of where we're headed. Each of our core values flows from the character of God. It's implemented through our willingness to partner with God in the resourcing of the Holy Spirit. We can't do this on our own, right? I mean, hey, let's just go do this. No, sorry. We don't have the capacity to do what God has called us to do. We have to have the work of the Holy Spirit and be surrendered to the resourcing of the Holy Spirit, because without reliance on him and his ongoing resources of power, creativity, and endurance and love, there's no way that we can fulfill our responsibility to God. There's no way that we can become who he wants us to be as a congregation. So, as we wrap up this series on values and vision, I want us to take a few minutes to review each value. Then we're going to talk about the vision or the direction that we want our ministry together to take. And I just want to begin with just a snapshot of our values. Throughout this series, we have attached an icon to each of our values. And I found it interesting when I went back. I mean, I'm the guy who's putting the icons together, and the leadership team put the other stuff together. I'm putting the icons together. And everything is moving from heart to hand. When you see the icons, that's exactly what's, I did not do that on purpose, but when I went back, I looked like, oh my word, what's happening here? Well, it has to develop inside of us in our relationship with God, and then God, in his presence and his working in our lives, works his works through us. We become his hands, his mouthpiece, his feet, and so there's this love of God that inundates our hearts, and then it works its way out of us. And because God is communal as a triune God, what happens? All of a sudden, what? He is moving out through us in community, and it just keeps going on and on. And it's helpful for us to attach these pictures because it gives us just another way of remembering what's going on. Probably a year or two ago, I talked to you about icons. Most of us understand what icons are better than our ancient friends who use them in their worship practices, because we have these ridiculous things, right? And everything we do on here has an icon. And what happens when you touch the icon? It opens up a whole other world, right? And so when we're looking at these icons, it's not just to, you know, you don't worship the icon. What do? You use the icon as a vehicle, as a doorway to get to where God wants us to be. And so these icons are just images that open up a whole expression of the core values and the visions of our church. And our values are exactly like that. Each icon points us to something more. Something that we want to engage ourselves in so that we can become more like Christ as individuals, as families, and as a church body. The first one is God's love. The meaning of life is found in God's unconditional love experience in Jesus Christ. In fact, there's very little of life that can be understood outside of that in a functional, proper way. God's plan was not to condemn the world. Those who have no regard for him, those who are living in rebellion against him, he does not desire for them to land in hell. His desire for them is to come to repentance, to change their course, and find life in him. He loved us, human rebels, so much that he sent his one and only son as an atoning sacrifice to rescue us from our self-destruction in sin. Because we've experienced his love, we must now love others. If I'm a recipient of the love of God, how can I withhold his love from other people? You have been loved, therefore, go forth and love others. Any claim to love God that does not love God by loving others is a lie. If we claim that we love the Lord and we don't love our neighbor, we lie. 1 John chapter 4. Second core value is that we have genuine community. Genuine community. We demonstrate our love for God by loving others and seeking to draw them into serving, caring, supportive family of God. This flows so naturally from God's triune nature. Remember, God was living in community before he created humans. Let us make man in our image. In our image, let us create them. What does that mean? Well, it's an implication that God was living in perfect harmony with himself in community, in relationship, Father, Son, and Holy Spirit from eternity past and will always do that. So when he created us in his image, he created us with a need to be with each other, to serve each other, to care for each other, to support each other. We have to have community, and it's the most natural outflow of the love of God from ours, from our hearts. The most natural way to express the love of God is by living in Christian community, in a Christian community that not only serves itself, which so much of Christianity does these days, but that serves others well, that serves others well. We've had example after example of that the last few weeks as we've served and cared for families who are going through the grieving process and funerals. Thank you again for all of those of you who have served tirelessly and endlessly caring for these families. Because it's not just, hey, we're going to put up a meal and do a service. There are people here whose lives are being changed because of the interaction they experience in the body of Christ. It's a beautiful thing. That's just one example of how we do this. We're committed to a local church. We're striving to live at peace with each other. We're demonstrating care for each other. We're working together with the larger church in the community to the best of our ability to demonstrate that God's rescuing love to those not yet receptive of it is real. It's tangible. They can have that love. Would to God that God's people would get along better. It's true, right? We should do our best to live at peace with each other. Romans chapter 12, verse 19. Genuine community. We are a people of peace who demonstrates peace, who lives in peace to the best of our ability. Our third core value is life transformation. The purpose of Christian living is becoming progressively more like Jesus while helping others enter that same lifelong relationship that we enjoy with Jesus. Our goal is to help others be enveloped in this experience as we're doing this. Being a disciple implies helping others be discipled too. I don't just get to sit and learn and listen and grow from other people's involvement in my life. Now I have to take on the role of mentor and help others take an apprenticeship with Christ as they look at my life, moving them in the direction of Jesus. And it's done in several institutional and organic ways. I hope I've made this clear over the course of this thing. We can't possibly in the healthiest way possible, disciple people by merely the institutional means. We have to have friendships. We have to be in each other's presence and proximity. We have to make sure that we are helping others along. And that can be a very organic thing. You can join a small group. You can be part of our slate of classes and ministries. Or you can develop your own group that studies, that prays, that serves, that reaches out together. Please do that. There are groups that are just organically developed that I know of, many that I don't know of, that are helping each other grow. It's stunning to me. Many of our young people who have friends and family that are at a distance are still having small group together on Zoom meetings. When their college friends, their youth group friends are hundreds and thousands of miles away, they still meet on a regular basis to have small group together. I love that because they love each other, they grew up together, they were being formed together, now they're challenging each other to live in Christ together, whether they're in the same space or not, they're doing their best to do that. So organically, things are happening. They're, guys and gals are getting together to have coffee, and they're talking about how faith is interjected into their family, how they parented, what mistakes they made, and how you can avoid those mistakes as you go along. These are incredibly healthy and important to the development process of Christian human beings. God not only wants to reconcile us to himself, he wants to make us like his son, and we need each other to do that. The fourth core value is holistic generosity. Holistic generosity. God has rescued us from sin to eagerly do what is good by tangibly meeting the broad spectrum of people's needs. Generosity includes but is not limited to financial giving. We are generous also by using our time, our talents, our physical and financial resources. All the gifts and abilities that God has placed within this church are necessary to accomplish God's purposes through this church and to meet the needs of people, yes, in-house, but also in the community. God has called us to utilize the resources that are available to us, that he has given us to do his work in our community. And the final core value we talked about 2 weeks ago is just restored relationships. 2 Corinthians chapter 5 says that we are Christ's ambassadors, pointing people to the good news that they can be reconciled to God and they can be reconciled to each other. A few weeks ago we talked about this restoration to God and to each other. The restoration to God comes through Jesus Christ, and when we're restored to God through Jesus Christ, then the door opens to the possibility that we can live lives of peace and reconciliation with each other, because the Holy Spirit inside of us is developing character qualities like love, joy, peace, patience, kindness, gentleness, goodness, I always miss that one, self-control, right? There's all these wonderful things that are floating around inside of us. The Holy Spirit is developing in us, and they are all relational qualities that help us grow stable, reconciled, peaceable relationships. This is one of God's deepest desires. The fruit of the Spirit is the Spirit's outworking in us, and it just helps us reunite with other people. Sin does not unite people together. Sin divides. Sin destroys. Sin ruins relationships. The fruit of the Spirit draws people back together in relationship with each other. God's goal is that his people serve as his ambassadors of restored relationships. He's given us the message and the ministry of reconciliation, which is restored relationships. Jesus destroyed one of the greatest relational barriers of all times, according to Ephesians 2. He tore down the dividing wall between Jew and Gentile, making them one new person. How is that even possible? Because he's the one that overthrew the powers of darkness that divide us. At the macro level, he can do it at the micro level in our churches, in our homes, in our relationships. He tore down the dividing wall between Jew and Gentile. He can help us tear down the dividing wall between other human beings. Now, take the next few minutes and just take a moment to talk about just a simple, simple vision. Those are the values that we felt the Spirit leading us toward. They are presently active in this group of people. We always can grow them. We can always, you know, use an improvement in those things. They help us to clarify what we're here to do. This is what we're here to do. This is what we want to look like. This is where we want to go. They help us sort through what course we might take when opportunities arise. and what things we should do, what things we should avoid doing, and they can be boiled down into just a very simple but helpful vision statement that guides our future as the Spirit enables and guides us. At the beginning of this series, I said that what I desperately want as pastor is to make the next 10 years the healthiest, most flourishing, joyous, exciting, fruitful time of ministry that this church has ever known, and that we would leave this congregation so healthy that generation after generation after generation, literally generations from now, they would look back on this season in this church and go, they gave us a foundation that we could launch off of. We want that to happen. If we want God honored through our church, if we want to partner with Him in His vital work, if we want our local community to become a better place to live because of Jesus, if we want to extend the rule of Christ in this area, what should we be doing? How can we face down the forces of darkness that are preying on people's vulnerabilities all around us? How can we stand with Christ for His purposes and His goals? How can we join forces with other congregations and institutions to rescue people from the destruction that sin wreaks on their lives? How can we become the people God wants us to be? We do it by helping people find their way to God and one another through Jesus Christ. That's it. It's such a simple thing. This is what God wants us to participate with. He needs our partnership in this. He's chosen a program that says this is how this is going to work. Five times in 2 Corinthians chapter 5, verses 16 through 21, Paul uses the term reconciliation. I'm guessing it's the key word. Right? It's like one small paragraph, reconcile, 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 you know, five times. Three of those times are describing the condition that people need to enter into. Two are describing the ministry that He gives, that God gives the church. God has tasked us with being ambassadors of reconciliation. He's given us the ministry and the message of reconciliation. Most of the human problems, not all of them, but most of the human problems that we face result from people being estranged from God and others. Most of them. For example, poverty is not just a lack of financial resources. In most cases. Over the course of decades, we have come to realize that nearly everyone we help in the community with tangible financial resources is impoverished, yes, financially, but also because relationships are broken with God, family, and community. So when we look at being generous, we don't look at just restoring people to, here's some cash, let me throw some money at your problem. This is what governments do, isn't it? We have a broken educational system, here's a truckload of cash. Does it fix it? Yeah, little bits. That's just one part of it, right? So what we're looking at is when people present off the street to us, we pass them through a little bit of an application if they're not in-house, right? Family members get a little different feel. They come from the street. We say, okay, here, fill this out for us. And then one of the questions on our application is, do you have family members or friends that could help you with this? Invariably, the answer to that question is no. And the answer to the question of why is because, well, the relationships are strained. Gotcha. So at the core of their poverty isn't just a poverty of finances, it's a poverty of relationship. So when we look at poverty abatement, what are we trying to do? Restore people to healthy relationships with God, their families, and their community. And do we give? Oh, yeah, no kidding. We give, right? Yeah, this is part of the deal. But reconciliation is more than just one form of reconciliation, and generosity is more than one form of restorative experience. When people are estranged from God, family, and community, they face a very difficult struggle maintaining the state of personal well-being. And to that end, God has entrusted us with a ministry and message of reconciliation so that we not just throw money or resources at a problem, but we try to help people restore their relationships with God, family, and the community so that they're whole and well in the best possible way. You realize that the center of New Testament Christianity is partnering with God to restore relationships. this concept of reconciliation is strewn throughout the New Testament. Very few places you don't see it. Very few places you don't see it. Jesus came to restore us to right relationship with the Father. Much of his message is about forgiveness and being restored to God and to each other. Forgive as you have been forgiven. Oh, okay. Forgive as Christ has forgiven you. Those are all what? Restorative, reconciling messages. His message is about forgiveness and being restored to God and other people. Wherever you find Jesus, you find a wake of reconciliations to God, do you not? The tax collector who's sitting up in a tree because he wants to see the parade, reconciliation. The woman who breaks into the Pharisee's house party, the prostitute, what? Reconciliation. The Pharisee who comes to see Jesus in the dark of night in John chapter 3. Oh, reconciliation. He's restored to right relationship with the Father by being born again. Wow. Okay. God has given us that ministry to carry on the ministry of Jesus, a ministry of reconciling people to God and each other. And we have to live in ways that lead to restored relationships. We have to be certain that as far as it concerns us, we are living at peace with all men, Romans 12, 18. All of life can be viewed through and lived out from this perspective or this lens of reconciliation. And then the questions we need to start asking ourselves are, what are we doing to help restore relationships? Are there any of our relationships that need to be restored, including our relationship to God? Who do you know that is living at odds with God? Who do you know that's living at odds with other human beings? How can you help them see the beauty of living at peace with God through relationship with Jesus and living at peace with other people? And are we living at peace as Christian people? Are we living at peace with each other? And are we living at peace with other churches? Because they too, if they are believers in Jesus, are part of the family. Are we being reconciled to each other? And if not, what can we do to promote and set a tone of peace? So I was studying this the last couple of weeks, wrestling with application and how can we apply this. We can become what God intends through small, consistent actions. And this is really what came to me. And man, I struggled with this, wrestled with it day after day in prayer and study and just not sure where to go. As Pentecostals and Charismatics, we love the grand actions of God. And I don't say that to dismiss them. We love the grand actions of God. We are a restorative, continuationist movement, which means we came out of revival. We look for revivals. We long for and pray for revival. We love to see people's lives changed in an instant. God says or does something and he takes care of whatever was there. And it's beautiful, and we need to look for those things. We lobby for the miraculous. When I'm with pastor friends who are outside this denomination, I lobby for the miraculous. God didn't stop doing good things when the apostles died. Aren't you glad? It's good news. He still works miracles today, and we should believe him for those types of miracles. We lobby for it. We long for seasons of refreshing, Acts chapter 3, and revival that we know God provides. But then the question came to me, it's like, but what do you do in between those moments? What do I do between those moments of refreshing? Well, I wait with anticipation for the next moment of refreshing, but I also take action. I can't just sit around and wait. I have to wait actively. And if you understand the biblical theology of waiting, it is waiting actively. It's not waiting passively. It's waiting actively. We take action. Between God's extraordinary actions, there is a life to be lived and progress to be made, and that progress happens as we take small steps every day to live in the identity that God has for us. And what identity does God have for his church? It is to be a people who restore people to him and to each other. So we look in the mirror, we say, reconciler. I have been reconciled. God has given me the message and ministry of reconciliation. And today I'm going to take small votes. I'm going to make small votes in the direction of what? Being a reconciler and helping people be reconciled to God and making sure that I'm reconciled and living in reconciliation. And as we take those small steps every day, we're just like, okay, this is who we are. We are here to help people be restored to God and to each other. What am I doing in this moment to help restore this person? It doesn't take that much. When you run into that person at the checkout at the grocery store and they don't have enough money to cover their baby formula and their diapers and you have some money to help them out, how do you help that person be restored to God? Put that on mine. Simple, right? When somebody's having a really, really lousy day and you can tell, you need to put aside your grumpiness and your agitation and your impatience and do what? Be kind and joyous and thoughtful. What does that do? It's a small vote in the direction of restoring a person to God and you restoring yourself to humanity and to God as well. Are we helping others find God and find each other? Are we becoming the image of Jesus? This morning we took communion. This table of communion is a reminder of the reconciling work of God. Every time we take communion, we're looking at the fact that are my relationships with other people in right order? Is my relationship with God in right order? It is a table of reconciliation. God wants us to remember that reconciliation is central to what he's doing, and it's an image, it's an icon of who we want to be, loving, communal, transformative, generous, reconciling, just like Jesus is loving, communal, transformative, generous, and reconciling. What can we do to participate in the life of restoring people to God and to others? So we have a set of values and a very simple vision. And this morning, what I'd like us to do as we gather for prayers is I want us to ask the Holy Spirit to help us to live by the values, to help us clarify them. This is not the end-all and be-all and the finality of this. Values and vision, that it would be brought into reality. We need to take on God's identity for the church, and then we need to take small steps each day to make that a reality. And each small action will compound like interest. That's what I love about small actions. If I'm consistent with them, if I save $100 a month from my paycheck, it doesn't seem like much, does it? $100 a month, that's not going to be much. But if you save $100 a month for 30 years and you have compounded interest, my friends, you'll be a millionaire at the end of 30 years. Strange, isn't it? Small actions every day make a huge difference. The kindness, the courtesy, the demonstration of the character of Christ in the smallest ways. Every one of those investments does what? It just begins to draw some interest. And the Holy Spirit takes that and he magnifies it, and it changes people's lives. If you're not living reconciled today to God or to others, it's time to make things right. Our souls sometimes suffer because of strife. It's time to make peace. To live under the rule of the Prince of Peace as God's people. Others are at odds with God, and it's time to make peace with the Prince of Peace. So we're going to pray for an ongoing peace here within the churches of our area, and that God would help us to be an example of his reconciling love, and that he would help us grow into his image and fulfill our partnership responsibility with him. Tina, would you come to the piano, please? Let's bow our heads for a moment. Father, in this holy moment, we ask that your Spirit would enliven us to pray. This is an hour that your church needs to be alive. We need to be fully functioning. We need to be utilizing our gifts. We need to be demonstrating your love, your care, your concern. We need to be bringing your message that you have overcome sin and people can be reconciled to God and made right with him. Holy Spirit, help us in these next moments. And then, Lord, in the days, the weeks, the months, the years ahead, we need your Holy Spirit to function through us. We want to be yielded to you. This world needs the church to be alive. It needs us, Father God. So help us in these moments as we pray together to experience that life fresh and new. Stir it up within us, I pray. in these moments as we gather for prayer. Would you come? Let's gather for prayer. Let's ask the Holy Spirit to enliven us, to make us and shape us in the image of Jesus. Come on, friends, let's gather up. The world needs the church to be alive. The world needs us to be functioning fully as we possibly can. He needs us to be loving, communal, transformative, generous, restorative in every possible way. And let's lift our voices to Him and let's cry out to God this morning. God, we need You. God, we need You. This cannot happen without Your help. This cannot happen without Your strength. And Lord, we yield ourselves to You this morning. Do Your work in us. Do Your work in us, O God. We desperately need You. We are thirsty. We are hungry. We are longing for the work of the Spirit to be alive in us and through us. We want it to be alive here, yes. We want it to be alive in the streets of our city, in our workplaces, in our neighborhoods, in our schools, Father God. In every aspect of our society. So visit us, Holy Spirit. Visit us, Holy Spirit. Visit us, Holy Spirit. Thank You, Lord. Thank You, Lord. Thank You, Jesus. Thank You, Jesus. Would you find someone near you, whether you're seated, you're at home, or you're here, find someone near you to pray with and ask the Holy Spirit to just enliven them with His image, with His presence, with His power, with His creativity, with His life. And Father, right now we pray for the person to our right, to our left. We pray for the person in front of us or behind us. Lord, we pray for, if we're at home, we pray for the folks that You are bringing to our mind right now. And we pray, enliven them, Holy Spirit, with Your presence. Enliven them with creativity. Enliven them with discernment. Enliven them with the gifts of the Spirit, Father, that they would be able to do the work that You've called them to do, to carry the message of restored relationships with God and family. Lord, to restored relationships with the community. Lord, that they would carry the message and the ministry of Your reconciling power and grace with them, Father God, this week. We just call on You this morning, God. We know our need. We know how weak we are. We know, Holy Spirit, we can't do this without You. But with You, there all things are possible. So, Holy Spirit, enliven us, empower us. Give us boldness, Father God. There are times we're just insecure. Give us boldness and confidence in the Holy Spirit to speak, to act in ways that You're leading us to speak and act. Lord, there are good works that You have prepared in advance for us to do this week. Give us the confidence to walk through those doors of opportunity, the sense, the sensibility, the sensitivity to see the opportunity when it arises, Father God. Fill us with Your Spirit. Fill our mouths with Your words. Lord, strengthen our hands to do your actions this week as we partner with you to bring people closer to you, to move people toward restoration in Christ. Oh, help us, Lord. Help us, Lord. Oh, Jesus, we pray for friends who can't be with us today. You're a miracle-working God, so we pray, Father God, that you would continue to minister your grace to little Zayden. We pray that you'd minister your grace to our friend Bo. Lord, we think of our friend Gary and his family who are grieving, and we just pray that you continue to bring your peace, your strength, your help, your hope, Father God, to them. In Jesus' mighty name, God, you're so good to us. God, you're so good to us. Yes, Lord. Use us to reach our neighbors, our family members, our co-workers. Lord, we want to see people come to know you. We want to see people come to know you. We know what a difference it's made in our lives. Help us to be that instrument. Help us to be the answer to somebody's prayer this week, Father God. Thank you, Lord. Thank you, Lord. Would you stand with us, please? Thank you, Jesus. Father, we are so grateful for speaking to us today, for helping us to just enjoy your presence together. And Lord, we go from this place ready to face the week ahead. Strengthen us. Help us, Lord, to see the path you've laid out for us and to walk wisely in it. We want to represent you well everywhere we go. And when people see us and hear us, we want them to see and hear Jesus. So help us to represent you well this week in this community. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen.